in here, you can feel free to talk while we're setting this up if you want to go first so people don't have to wait even longer.
Hello. Hi, I'm Phil Zimmerman, and I'm kind of doing a last-minute substitute talk. Not a substitute talk, but a steal 20 minutes of his time talk. And thanks for letting me do that. So I just wanted to give you a quick little update on the on my project for Secure VoIP, ZPhone. Last year I was here. Was that a year ago? Must be. Anyway, I demonstrated a prototype written in Python, and that was just for proof of concept to see if the protocol works. But now I actually have some real software you can download from the website. It's written in C, not Python, and it's not a standalone VoIP client. It's it's sort of a plug-in for your whatever VoIP client you prefer to use, except for Skype, not that one. But if you have a standard VoIP client like X-Lite or iBeam or Gizmo or SJ Phone or any number of others, then you can run my ZPhone software that will go into the IP stack and encrypt the phone call by detecting the VoIP-related packets and interceding at the beginning of the call, at the beginning of the packet stream of media packets, and doing the Diffie-Hellman exchange and setting up the keys and then encrypting the rest of the call. It's got its own separate little GUI that tells you if the call is secure. It's got a couple of buttons on it, go secure and clear, you know. And it uses Diffie-Hellman to set up the keys. It displays a short authentication string to tell you that there's no man in the middle. And it doesn't involve any public key infrastructure. It doesn't involve the key. It doesn't involve the SIP servers. Doesn't involve the VoIP service providers. Doesn't involve any third parties at all. And the reason why I designed it this way is because I felt that architecture has a lot of impact on you know whether your call is going to be secure. I just felt that you know the other encryption schemes for VoIP all involve the signaling. They all involve the participation of the SIP servers, the participation of the VoIP service providers, the participation of the telephone companies. And it just seemed to me that somehow it appears that the phone companies don't always have your best interest in mind. And so there's a whole bunch of other VoIP encryption standard proposals that all involve the participation of the phone companies or the VoIP service providers. Mine doesn't, and I think that matters a lot. We presented this to the IETF. John Callis, Alan Johnston, and I presented an internet draft to the IETF, and there's been a lot of discussion about it there, comparing it to the other schemes that are currently under consideration at the IETF, the ones that all use the signaling, the proponents of the other schemes they view this as a layer violation because I'm doing the key exchange in the media stream, which is highly unorthodox in their view. Well, you know, the media stream is how it always used to work in the public switch telephone network in the old days of secure phones. It works just fine there. Nobody called that a layer violation. And that didn't involve the phone company. So I thought it would be a good way to do it here. So there's no persistent key material. The keys are created at the beginning of the call and they're destroyed at the end of the call. There's perfect forward secrecy. There's also something else. You remember I mentioned that you read aloud and compare a short authentication string with your partner to see if there's any man-in-the-middle attack. That's a kind of a substitute for a public key infrastructure. Well, not everybody's going to do that. I mean, there's a lot of nerds in this room that would do it, but your mom's not going to do it. So what do you do for those cases? Well, it has another thing. It uses key continuity, sort of analogous to SSH. In other words, if the man in the middle is not there to attack in the very first call, he's locked out of all future calls, like SSH. This is one audience that I don't have to ask for a show of hands of how many people here have used SSH. It's not the same approach as SSH. It doesn't involve persistent public keys for signatures. Instead, it retains a shared secret from the earlier call. It hashes it and retains a hash of it, so you can't work backward to recover the old one. And on the next call, it does a fresh Diffie-Hellman like it always does, but then mixes in the shared secret from the earlier call. So you have key continuity. So if you don't check the short authentication string for many, many phone calls, maybe you call someone 100 times using this scheme, and you're unbelievably lazy and you just don't check the short authentication string, after 100 calls, you decide that today we're really going to talk about very secret stuff. And so you check the short authentication string, and it matches. Well, that proves not only that there's no man in the middle in this call, but it retroactively proves that there never was a man in the middle all the way back to the very first call. That's a nice security property. And it's all without any public key infrastructure, and the servers don't even know you're doing it. The SIP servers are not aware that you even did a key exchange. So of all the various encryption schemes for VoIP, this one, I think, is the most politically congruent with the values of the people in this room. And I think that it will prevail in the long run, competitively, over the other VoIP encryption schemes for the same reasons that PGP has prevailed against PEM in 1991, MOS in the mid-1990s, and even SMIME today, which has an enormous deployment advantage over PGP, and yet no one uses it. Architecture matters, and the activation energy for PGP is much lower than it is for SMIME, and that's why people use it. That's part of why they use it. They also trust it more. And the activation energy for this is much less. You don't have to build a PKI. So if you go to my website, philzimmerman.com, right now or tonight, and download it, you can get the third public beta. It's been out since March, but now a few days ago I just did a new public beta. It's the third one. We even have a Windows one for the few of you, the five or six of you in this room that use Windows. And it's the second public beta of the Windows, so it's more stable. I'm told that the engineers have fixed the blue screens of death, and it even has an uninstaller. So I think it's going to become the de facto standard for VoIP encryption. I think it's going to change things. So, any questions? Yeah. I'm relying on the short authentication string for that. You're going to have to use your common sense, your ordinary brain. You know, how do you know your mom's not a Martian? You know, we always managed to solve that problem with the public switch telephone network, and nobody got upset about that.
I just wanted to make sure that that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, all right. Maybe I'm done early. Everybody, download it. And by the way, something I need. You know, I've been doing my code development in the Ukraine, because I'm paying for it out of my own pocket. This is not a venture capital funded enterprise here. This is my own little private project. And so I need people to beat up on this thing. And I don't know, is there anybody here that's good at that? Is this the kind of conference where I might find somebody that could do that? So please download it. You can get the source code for the Linux version. You can get the source code for all the versions, but the website, you can immediately download the Linux source code. I need to do not the cryptanalytic breaks. I don't think you're going to be able to get very far with that, but I would like people to beat up on it on the more traditional buffer overflow attacks and malformed packets and all the things that you're already good at doing for breaking into systems. Of course, it's going to depend on what kind of VoIP client you have hooked up to it, but that's not my problem. Now, in the long run, this thing is going to be inside of VoIP clients, integrated inside of VoIP clients. That's the best way to do it. In the meantime, though, we're doing this IP filter approach. And I recently signed an agreement with a Canadian company called Borderware that makes a VoIP security gateway, and they're going to put it in that. So you can have an office with 100 VoIP phones all connected to the VoIP security gateway that will apply the ZRTP protocol. That's the protocol that is in ZPhone, out to the cloud. So the last 10 or 20 meters will be not encrypted, but, you know, it's better if it's inside the phone, but this is also pretty good. So anyway, I'd like people to try to attack it. So please. And by the way, if you do break it, send me an email about it before you announce it. It's in beta. You know, I expect there's bugs in it. So, yeah.
I just wanted to thank you for your work with PGP and continuing to work in this space and using your talents here, even in the face of the adversities you faced.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I'm hoping this will be my act two. I'm getting a little old for an act three, so this one's got to be good. Yeah. Yeah, it's letters and numbers. Later on, I'm going to add the word list that we use in PGP. Actually, that word list was originally developed 10 years ago for PGP Phone. So it was originally developed for the same product, pretty much. Yeah, I don't think the rich little attack is not going to work. The rich little attack. Oh, you guys are too young for that. Rich Little was an impersonator in the 1960s. He did Ed Sullivan and Richard Nixon, and he did almost everyone. And so I call it the Rich Little attack. The Rich Little attack is not a realistic attack against this. There's too many ways that you can thwart that. The attacker doesn't know when you're going to read those the short authentication string. He doesn't know how you're going to do it and what form you're going to do it. There's so many ways to trip them up. So remember, the attacker's trying not to be detected. He's not going to risk it. You just read, like, four characters? Four characters, and it's base 32 right now. Later, we'll change it to words. Then you'll just probably read two words. If you read two words and it's one byte per word, then and 8 bits per word, then it's... The attacker has only one chance in 65,000 of success. Ah, I got 5 minutes. So make this, do stuff with this. Put it in, you can download the source code and write to me about putting it into VoIP clients. You're probably going to get it in what? So the question is this subject to Kalia?
Well, if you could tell us that PGP or even what you're working on.
PGP doesn't have any backdoors in it. That's pretty well established. PGP is not subject to Kalia, and neither is this. And the reason why this is not subject to Kalia is because Kalia governs the behavior of the service providers. The Kalia requires the service providers to cooperate with the government to hand over whatever they've got, which it would typically be either keys or, if it's not encrypted, the packets themselves. In the case of the ZRTP protocol and ZPhone, the two parties that are doing the conversation, Alice and Bob, they're the ones who work out the keys between them without the participation of the service providers. The service providers are not in a position to provide any keys. Kalia is actually sort of irrelevant. I didn't mean that in a pejorative way. I'm just saying it doesn't technically apply, you know. Although I'm sure that plenty of people would also look at it in a pejorative way. Yeah. Yes, I'm using AES. In fact, the low-level packet encryption uses a protocol called SRTP, which is also used by the other schemes that I've been trashing in the last few minutes. It's actually a very good way to encrypt the voice packets. SRTP is a great protocol. In fact, it looks just like the protocol I developed 10 years ago for PGP phone, except it's actually even better because they put an authentication tag on each voice packet. I didn't do that then. The threat models changed over the years. So, all right. There's plenty of technical information on the website. There's an FAQ page. There's the internet draft. There's source code. And I can even give you documentation for the SDK if you want to look at that. So there's plenty of stuff to look at. So send me email, philzimmerman.com, spelled with two N's, the German spelling. There's another guy named Phil Zimmerman with one N, so don't go to his website. All right. Thanks.